Hello and welcome to the Week 13 review from First and 10 for the NFL season. I'm Ollie, joined by Ash. Ash, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Christmas season is upon us, so starting to get a bit festive in my house now. We put the decks up, so it's festive football now for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. It's the first time I've ever seen it. One of my neighbors has like a projection on their house of like snow falling. It's like basically like
Yeah.
a But basically like a disco light that you might see in year seven or something, but like essentially, but it's trying to create the effect of snow on their house. That's
Pay
interesting.
like 70 quid for the month for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's cost of living crisis. They're
Yeah.
absolutely paying no attention to that whatsoever. And Miles, the other side of the most enthralling game of the week, Chargers and Patriots fans here to represent.
Oh.
Miles, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, that was the thing is that as a Patriots fan, I've just become so numb to it already. I'm like, I actually don't care. Like, just this season's a write-off. Let's go again next year. That's it. Like,
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Belichick. Other than that, I guess just waiting, riding out to hopefully get Caleb Williams. Seems like it. Yeah, we'll move on to the first of our scheduled games from last week. The Seahawks narrowly lost to the Cowboys, 41-35. Ash, is it sort of a little bit of panic stations for the Seahawks at this point? Because there was a point where we saw them on that sort of level with the Cowboys and the Lions, and now they've dropped off quite a bit. They're now sort of in that pit in the NFC where they could very easily drop out of the playoffs. Are you concerned if you're a Seahawks fan right now?
I would be concerned a tad because of how well the Rams have been playing and the Packers have been playing recently. So they're the two teams really that's royally up their bum at the moment, to be honest. So I thought Seahawks were unlucky. I think they played a really good game against a very good Dallas team. And I don't think anyone expected the Seahawks to go into Dallas and put up that 35 points. So they were unlucky, and there was a lot of positives to still take out of that game because that's a lot better than been playing over the last couple of weeks. But Dallas proved that they are a force at the moment on offense. You could argue that they are one of the best, if not the best, offense in the league over the last probably three games. So yeah, they've if I was the Seahawks, I'd be slightly concerned just because their schedule's relatively difficult being in that division. I think they still got to play 49ers, and I think they've got one other pretty tough game. I can't remember off the top of my head who it is. But at the moment, the Packers are breathing down their necks. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see the final five games. But I mean, a lot of the fantasy seasons are coming to a close. And someone said to me the other day that, oh, it's like, it feels like the season's ending. I said, well, there's still like five games to go, so there's still quite a lot of football to be played. And if teams can run the house and actually pick up five wins, they're actually in a lot better position than they look at the moment. So there's still a lot to play for, but the Seahawks really do need to start picking up some wins because form at the moment it isn't great.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Prescott playing well, Cowboys offense arguably best in the league. He is very much one of those names that people are scraping the barrel for if they're picking a quarterback for MVP at the moment. Is he in the conversation for you?
I mean, he'd have to continue this pace on personally for me because I'm not sure how you can give someone MVP and they don't even win their own division. So, personally, no, he's not in the conversation. But personally, for me, I don't know if any of the quarterbacks are currently in the position where I think that they deserve it. People can argue Jalen Hurts, Dak, people can argue, I suppose. Maybe Lamar, maybe Tua, but I mean, personally, for me, the best player, the most valuable player on anyone's team at the moment is Tyreek Hill. So I don't know if you can really, if they have to give it to quarterbacks. It seems to be like everyone's trying to give it to a quarterback. But at the moment, I don't think there's anyone more important to their team than Tyreek Hill at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I guess the only slight on him would be the Dolphins' record against the better teams in the league. But at the end of the day, he is the most valuable player to his team. And I don't, to be honest, I don't even have a quarterback in the top three. It goes Tyreek Hill, then Christian McCaffrey, and then Myles Garrett. I think Myles Garrett is doing more for the Browns than any quarterback is for their
well,
team.
Evidently, they've had, what, four now? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what about you, Miles? Who have you got in the MVP race?
There is no one playing better football than Tyreek Hill. And bearing in mind that he played a couple weeks where he looked hurt and he was still amazing. Like, it just, he, at him at 75, 80% is still clear of any wide receiver this season at 100%. So I just think that, and you know, like, I like Tua. I think Tua is a very good quarterback, but he's not putting up, they're not having the games they have if Hill, if you swapped Hill with any other top wide receiver this season, they would still play well, but they just wouldn't have that extra edge. Like, Hill gets the ball and it's a touchdown. Like, he's just gone. It's whatever. And I just think that, yeah, he just makes so much happen. And he is the reason the Dolphins are where they are right now. And I don't think that's going to be, that's not really replaceable. And I think that's what MVP is to me, is a player that's irreplaceable. Like, yeah, you know, we've obviously done the Brock Purdy debate to death, so I'm not going to get into that. But, like, you know, he's now the
favorite.
Like, yeah, I know. It's weird.
I don't
yeah.
even think he's the most valuable player
on that, like, team.
I know you said about Christian McCaffrey, but actually, I personally think the most valuable player on the 49ers is Trent Williams. That got proven.
Yeah, as soon as he
went
down.
The three games he missed is the three games they lost.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue that, like, they're never going to give it to a left tackle. Like, they're never.
Yeah, let's not get crazy. We're already talking about position players. Like, this is.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think it's anyone but Hill, basically.
Yeah, it should be Hill at the moment, currently. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The bookies do seem to have Brock Purdy down as a favorite. It is very much just, well, it can't possibly not be a quarterback, so it's got to be one of them.
I mean, the quarterback position is the hardest position to play in probably any team sport in the world. So I do understand why the extra credit is given to QBs. Like, you know, the decision-making you have to make with 1,200 pounds of human rushing at you and stuff like that. Like, and, you know, we see the field from the TV angle. Like, they're seeing it from, and it is difficult, but I just think that I just think Hill's been better, but I do respect that the QB position is just insanely hard.
Yeah, it does feel like if it isn't a skill position player this season, it never will be.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I just think Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, and even you mentioned Trent Williams, they're so crucial to their team and they contribute so much. I just think it's so difficult to look at any of the quarterbacks who are all, I mean, there are plenty of who are playing well, but there aren't any who are going above and beyond to that point where you're like, yes, they are the MVP. Which for me, I think there's got to be a clear standout, and Tyreek Hill is that standout. We'll move on to the Broncos at the Texans. Potentially MVP quarterback in this game if you view it a certain way, but the Texans came out on top of the end. Broncos did have a chance to win it down the stretch there, but Texans managed to hold on. Miles, was this what you expected from this game? I think, obviously, coming into it, we didn't necessarily expect either of these teams to be at this point at the start of the season, but they're both doing well now. It was a close game. Texans just about edge it. What did you take from this one?
I thought the Texans were going to win. I had them down as the winners in my projection, but I kind of thought it would be more of an offensive battle. But yeah, I just didn't really expect the Houston defense to step up the way they did, because Russ threw three interceptions. I don't think he made three turnover worthy throws in that game. I think the defense just harassed and, you know, made some really good plays. I think credit where credit is due, the Houston Texans defense has been a surprise, you know, like it's been a nice surprise. But, you know, I think all the attention's been on CJ Stroud and Tank Dell, and, you know, Singletary for a few weeks was incredible, you know, when Pierce was out. But that defense really, really stepped up, and, you know, they can, you know, they've got a really good unit coming together there. And it's scary, you know. They've got a good young quarterback, good wide receiver, got a group of good young wide receivers. Now that defense is really looking good. It's, yeah, I think they deserve to win that. Denver will be kicking themselves because they probably had a chance to win it. But yeah, I think Houston really deserved that. Shame that Tank Dell is hurt and out for the season because he's been incredible this year.
Yeah, that is a massive loss for them. And as I said, if you're really going to scrape the barrel for a quarterback to be MVP, I'm to be honest, I don't know how CJ Stroud isn't even in the top three. Like, I don't. If you're going to pick a quarterback, I think he's at least in the conversation, isn't he?
He's just been so like, and all the weaknesses he showed on tape at college have just disappeared. Like, he's almost like the almost finished product. Like, he hasn't really made any bad throws and stuff like that. There have been a few where you're like, that's a rookie mistake. Like, that's a clear rookie mistake. But we've seen bad throws from, veteran QBs. So it's not horrible, but I just think that he has overcome every obstacle and ironed out every crease in his game already. And we're not even done with his rookie year and he's looking really polished. Like, it's just incredible.
Absolutely. And now it's time to prepare yourselves for the absolute barn burner that was the Chargers at the Patriots. Total of 6 points, even fewer than that Niners game a couple of years ago. And I mean, I thought 9-0 was possibly the lowest score we were ever going to see. Six total points from the two teams. To be fair, it's a very good defense to play this one, wasn't there, Ash?
Maybe. Like, I just think these teams, they're a car crash at the moment. Like, that offense, this Chargers offense this week was horrendous. Shout out those. I mean, Herbert still nearly put up 300 yards, but none of his wide receivers at the moment are catching anything. They can catch a cold this time of year. So, like, it's just been horrendous. We've got no run game, which doesn't help at all. So, I mean, I talked about it a lot on the previous pod about the sort of position they're in and like how they need to try and address things because of the salary cap issues that they've got going into next year and stuff like that. But I think the best thing we've done over the last 2 years was, I think, that the trade for Khalil Mack. I think that if you argue what he's been putting up, I think he's nearly 14 sacks now, like, for a man that's 32. So, like, it's like what he's doing in year 32 is pretty much, I think his maximum stat season for sacks was 15. So for him to be putting up 14 at the moment, still five games left, I know we play an extra one game, but that's still pretty impressive for what he's done. So I think he's probably been the shining light on defense this year because Derwin's not really been at it. Bose has not really been at it. Obviously, he's injured at the moment again. We've had quite interchangeable with the linebacker situation, the cornerbacks. JC Jackson obviously didn't work out. So the rookie's looking all right, Tuitu Loapalele. So he's probably in the top, I would say he's probably in the top five talk, six talk of defensive rookie of the year. He's been playing quite well, but because he's rotational, he's not really been seeing the stat line that you would suggest a defensive rookie of the year would get. But yeah, the Chargers at the moment, I just don't know what's going on. I thought Kellen Moore coming in would improve the offense, but it's just not working. I don't know if that's just down to player personnel as well as coaching as well, just because of how bad certain aspects of this game has been. Like, there's no run game and it's just been horrendous, really. But and this kind of game kind of summed it up, really, in the situation both these two teams are in at the moment. They're both in ruts and they didn't do anything to get out of them ruts this weekend.
Well, you mentioned Khalil Mack there, obviously incredibly impressive season at 32 years old. He is at 15 sacks, and he leads the league in sacks.
There you go. He must have got another. Did he get two or did he get three this weekend?
Two, I think. But he's half a sack away from his 100th career sack.
Mental.
Just ridiculous playing.
He's been playing so well. Like, he's been playing really well. And obviously, that game, I think it was against the Raiders, he had six. Was it the Raiders or the Jets? Two, that he had six in one game. So, like, he has been really good this year. Like, you can't deny how well he's played. It's just the rest of the team has not stepped up. You could argue Keenan Allen's played well. I can't diss Keenan at all. Like, he's been playing.
UJ had a decent game for you.
He was okay, yeah. Like,
well, he had a really similar stat line to Keenan Allen.
Yeah, like the problem at the moment with QJ, which I think that is not his own fault in some. I mean, he has got drop issues, which he had at TCU, but the problem with QJ at the moment and the Chargers in general is they don't use the players correctly. Like when QJ, they've been sticking him outside literally all season, haven't been using him at all in the screen game. And if you looked at him as a draft profile candidate, one of his probably shining light in aspects was yards after the catch.
Yeah, run after the catch.
They don't use him at all in that sort of system. They're literally just throwing verticals to him like he's some sort of like Mike Williams.
And if they had watched the tape, they'd realize he body catches on vertical routes and stuff like that.
He's just not, yeah, like he's just not that player. Like, so they're not using him correctly. So it's a bit of both, really. The Chargers are their own worst enemies because they're not using Q properly. And Q's got zero confidence because at the moment he's not catching, because they're not going to him enough when the targets aren't there as much. The confidence is down. And when the ball comes to him in clutch situations, he's not catching the ball. So it's just catch 22 with it at the moment. We're just not. It's everything that could go wrong at the moment is kind of going wrong. I mean, if you can't get a touchdown, no disrespect to New England, but if you can't get a touchdown against New England at the moment, then you deserve to not make the playoffs.
Well, you said, I mean, I obviously the offense has been absolutely horrible, but the Patriots defense has been all right this season, hasn't it, Miles?
Yeah, it's it's like the bright spark we have. There's a really, really, really just disgusting stat about us. We are 1-3 this year when allowing 10 or fewer points. The rest of the NFL is 53-0 when allowing 10 or fewer points. The rest of the league is unbeaten this season when they've allowed less than 10 points. Yet we can't seem to win when we allow 10 or less points. It's just insane. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible how we've managed that. Like, we put up 15 points against the Jets. And then the other games where we allowed 10 or less, we put up 6, 7, and 0. It's just, okay, great. We've got a good defense, but hopefully with Caleb or Drake May, someone like that comes in, then we can, you know, we can move forward. But yeah, it's been horrible. It's been absolutely horrible this season.
All right, I guess we'll move on then. Yes, please. We've got the Lions at the Saints next. It's a bit of a close one. Unfortunately, Jameis Winston can. I mean, it's one of those things with Jameis Winston. You know, when he's coming into the game, you get him one or the other. He's either going to lead a hero comeback or he's going to throw the game away. very much the latter in this case. Although, I mean, I guess it is difficult coming in as a substitute, but it's just he does very much seem like he does one or the other. Ash. Obviously, the Lions very much in that conversation for the top seed in the NFC. Where do you see them at this point?
I think they're closer to Dallas than they are the Eagles and the 49ers. Obviously, their record is right up there with the other two. They blow hot and cold a little bit, Detroit, which kind of showed in this game that they were so good in the first half. And then so bad in the second half. So, I mean, I think that personally, the schedule-wise, it would take them a lot to not win their division. But I still think that they're not quite... I don't think they're quite the full package that the Eagles and the 49ers are. And they're a lot closer to Dallas than them other two teams. But take nothing away from Detroit this year. What a season this has turned out to be for them. They were getting absolutely mocked to death when they took Gibbs and the linebacker in round one. But they're still top of their division and it's just still showing everyone out at the moment. So hats off to that organisation and that team. I think that they will heavily miss Ben Johnson though when he gets a head coaching job in the summer, because what he put together on offense in that first half was clinical, absolutely clinical. So yeah, Detroit, it was a funny game. I don't really know how the Saints got that close to them in the end, because really Detroit looked like they had that game won and won comfortably. So they need to just make sure they kind of rein it. They remind me of the Vikings actually of last year, where they were making meals out of games, but their record was still amazing. So they got to try and tighten that up if they're going to get into the playoffs and actually obviously do things. But they are a team to be reckoned with, Detroit, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see going into this last stretch of the season. They've got a decent schedule, especially compared to the Eagles and the Niners, how close they can get to those top two seeds if they are capable of it. I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like they'll settle quite easily into the third seed, and they might get a bit too much of a bloody nose if they get a bit too close to those top two. But we'll see. Who knows? Be interesting to watch at least.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, moving on to two more dumpster fires of teams. Don't worry, it's not just us, guys. The Falcons beat the Jets 13-8. I mean, the quarterback situation seems to get worse by the week for the Jets. They've now got Zach Wilson thinking he's actually too good for them. Miles, what's your take on the quarterback situation in New York?
My take is that it's terrible, and whatever happens will result in pain and misery for New York Jets fans, because it's not the issue is not the quarterback. The issue is the offensive coordinator and the play calling. That's the issue, because they have good players. Like, their O-line isn't terrible. They've got Breece Hall, who is a fantastic running back. They've got Garrett Wilson, who is a fantastic wide receiver. They've got a couple of decent tight ends. You know, the quarterback's bad, but the constant rotation of them is not really going to change anything. And I think if you put a good quarterback in that team, it would still struggle. Obviously, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, because he played one snap. But yeah, I just think that you could put Mahomes in that team and it would struggle, because that team is just horrible. And I just feel like constant QB rotation is never really good in any respect. And yeah, I know they've been unlucky with injuries and stuff like that with Rodgers, but I think they need to just write off this season. It's done. It's finished. Leave it. You know, just chuck whoever you want in. The youngest player on your team, play them at quarterback and see what you've got, because the season is a lost cause. So that's my take on the QB situation in New York, in the green side of New York.
It is quite funny to me, the idea that Rodgers had this really risky surgery to try and get back in time, and his Achilles is never going to fully heal as a result of taking this option to try and get back for the playoffs. And ultimately, he's just going to end up sitting out the season because they're not good enough.
Ridiculous.
It's a poverty franchise.
Yes,
I know I'm one to talk, but
yeah, two New York poverty franchises at the moment. Yeah,
yeah, it's it's nice to be able to look down on someone at least.
Well, I'd say looking across for you, it's not down. It's across.
Well, I would say when we're good, we're actually good. This was supposed to be like the best season.
You're both 4-8, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but we know what we are. They think they're above their station. They think they've got a Super Bowl ready team. That's what it is. On to two more. A bit of a strange result here. The Cardinals with a 24-10 win over the Steelers. So the Cardinals, obviously, they've just got Kyler Murray back, big help for them. But they were very much starting to, like, season was over. Steelers, on the other hand, were not looking that great, but they were somehow winning every week. Ash, how did this happen? 24-10 to the Cardinals. It seems a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, I think the weather delays didn't help with the Steelers. I think the Steelers rely a lot on that sort of hostile environment. And I think that kind of got lost with the weather delays and the late start to the second half, etc. So, because the game, they were still relatively close within the first half. And then obviously the injury to Pickett happens as well. And it kind of, I think it really, really set the Steelers back again. But fair play to Connor, really. It was kind of like that revenge game, really, for Connor.
Yeah.
And I was really happy for him. Like, he's been an absolute legendary pro, really, for them two franchises. because everyone kind of writ him off when he left the Steelers and went to Cardinals. Everyone was thinking it might not, it probably won't work, and he'll only be there for a year, and it might not be the same Connor. But he's just carried on, really. He's been a very, very good pro for that team. So I was very, very, really happy for James Connor, to be fair. And I kind of, by the end of the game, I was really rooting for that. So yeah, I think the Cardinals are a weird team though. Like they're so up and down. Like one week, like they look like they could beat quite a few teams. I wouldn't say everybody, but they can definitely beat teams like the Steelers, who have issues in some respect at quarterback and that. So they can beat these sort of teams, but then some weeks they just look all over the place. I don't really think that defense helps much, especially if they come up against QBs that are half decent. But kind of, yeah, it was a strange one that Arizona went into Pittsburgh and won. But I think that, like I mentioned before, I think the weather delays and everything, it really did help Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it's easy to just keep going, especially when they kept happening as well. It wasn't just once, and they had two stoppages as a result of the weather. And it looked like they lost about half the crowd as well as a result of that. I mean, that could,
and everyone,
as you say, it can't be easy with that.
Yeah, and the thing is with the Steelers, they are that environment is really hostile. Like that they are really strong at home field advantage. The Steelers, like going into Pittsburgh and winning at Heinz Field is hard, but when you don't have the crowd there, or like they've left, or with that weather delay, I think that just really negged everyone out. And I think that it kind of felt like more of a neutral setting for the Cardinals. And then I think they just took off second half, really, especially once the Pickett injury happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's another tough one, although I guess some people would say it doesn't make too much of a difference.
Yeah, probably not. So,
yes, I mean, but it'd be interesting to see, because obviously the Steelers have had a pretty good start to the season, how much Trubisky coming in does affect that, and if he can keep it going at all. Moving on to another team who feel like you look at their record and doesn't quite look right. The Colts are now 7-5. Close game against the tough division opponent in the Titans. Miles, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Yes, yes, so Gardner Minshew, I've been waiting for this all weekend. Right. Gardner Minshew, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Everyone says he's the best backup in the league, but he's not, because there aren't 32 QBs better than Gardner Minshew. They're just not. That's just a false... It's just not. They're just not, okay? He is good. He's good enough to start. And, you know, Tennessee, kind of stubborn defense, you know, they can cause teams problems. 312 yards, two touchdowns, including the game winner. This is a serious baller. This is not just some guy. This is not a backup. This is a serious QB. I don't think he's amazing, but I think he's good. He's good enough to start in the NFL. But, yeah, and look, the ground game didn't do him any favours. You know, Moss, 2.7 yards per carry. Granson had one carry for, you know, 2 yards. Like, you know, they didn't have a lot going. But the passing game, you know, Alec Pierce got his first ever 100-yard game with Minshew at quarterback. That would never happen with Richardson at QB. And I like Richardson. Pittman had a great game as well. And, yeah, I just think that everything works. Everything works for Indianapolis on offense, and Gardner Flint Minshew is the reason. There's just not a lot else to say. It was the Gardner Minshew show.
Is Steichen. I think he's been a hell of a coach this year, so Steichen. For the Colts, I think that they obviously, it was unfortunate they lost AR, but Steichen is just prove that he can think on his feet, and I think that's going to be a really solid hire for the Colts to put them back, because they've been this merry-go-round of coaches and QBs and don't know what they're doing, obviously, since kind of Luck left.
Yeah,
but I think that they having him in the building now, I think that was a great hire this offseason. I think that he'd be there for a fair few years.
Well, it's interesting, the one with Steichen, because he's obviously first-year head coach. He's lost his starting quarterback, and he's gotten them to a 7-5 record, tied for second in the AFC South. And, you know, they're very much in that playoff conversation. Yeah, I mean, I guess if they just seem sort of overlook the Colts, I guess.
I think saying he lost the starting quarterback is technically you're right, but Minshew is better. And okay. I'm not saying this as a Minshew. I'm saying this as Richardson needs to play. Like, I think if I was Steichen, I would start Richardson as well because he's such a raw prospect that he needs to play. But I think if Richardson was starting every game, I don't think they'd have the record they have. I think they'd be worse. But Richardson needs to play to get better. So I think the right thing to do is to play Richardson. But he kind of, not lucked out with the injury, but he's in a position where he has to play his best QB. Whereas realistically, you want to develop the young guy. No one expected anything from Indy this year. So you kind of get a free hit with Richardson this year, not playing very well. But now next year, people are going to expect you to build on this season, and Richardson hasn't been getting the game time he needs to develop. So as much as I think Steichen is a really good coach, I think he kind of might be judged a bit too harshly next season if they don't improve or if they stay the same.
If the Colts actually get into the playoffs, you could even argue that Steichen is coach of the year because no one. I mean, they'd have to pick the Texans to get in because at the moment they're both on the same record, 7-5, the Colts and the Texans. The Colts can pick the Texans to the playoffs and get in. You could argue that he is coach of the year because of how no one expected the Colts to be a playoff team. Like, everyone had Dan Campbell and the Lions to do well this year, but nobody had the Colts. And then they lost their QB and they're still in the playoffs. That would be amazing.
I would still go. I just think D'Amico Ryans for me.
But if they don't make the playoff, like that is because that like the picks were 2 and 4, so it's not like the beginning of the season. They had like there was much difference between the Texans and the Colts. Like I know what you're saying. Like D'Amico Ryans has done really, really well, but you could also attribute that to CJ Stroud.
But I think in terms of roster talent, I just feel like the Texans have a worse team.
What then? The Colts?
Yeah, I just think, and not by a lot. They've got a worse offensive
line. Then they've got, I couldn't name you any of their pass rushers.
Their receivers are definitely worse.
I don't know if the Colts have got anything better than the Texans.
Oh, I think if Pittman was on the Texans, he'd be their best. He'd be the best receiver. Pittman, they've got better running backs, you know.
Pittman and Taylor, you could say, yeah. But other than that, but the Texans have got as a core probably better wide receivers. If you said their wide receiver three is Robert Woods, and the Colts wide receiver three is Alec Pierce, I think you maybe take Woods.
Like, I don't know. I can't. I like Downs, Pierce, and Pittman as a trio. Like I really like that.
You got Schultz, and you got Dell, and you got Collins. Like you could argue that it's very similar. And then obviously you got Will Anderson, Browning. Like there's a few players on defense that Singletary's a high pick. Like the Colts, like I could very rarely name you many of their players. Really, like, and for them to be 7-5, I know like schedules helped and stuff, strength schedule and stuff, but. That as soon as Richardson went down, they were dead and buried. Like everyone was like, "Well, they're going to get a high pick, and they could easily get the playoffs." And that is like, because I mean, don't get me wrong. Like D'Amico Ryans, what he's done there, completely changed the culture at the Texans. It's like unbelievable work. And if they make the playoffs, 100%, it wouldn't be a bad vote to say that D'Amico Ryans deserves it. But what Steichen has done for the Colts, like, is just like with obviously losing, they had their whole offseason and their whole draft process around getting Richardson, and then to lose him and then completely spin it on to go to Minshew, who hasn't the same attributes. He's you could say that he's good at better in aspects than Richardson in some, but it's like taking someone that plays up front and then moving him to defense. And like, it's like a weird system how they've been able to change their whole offense around a play action style. And now they don't have a play action style. It's pretty mad at what he's done. I personally think.
Interesting. Well, I guess that head coach of the year, debate is going to rage on towards the end of the season. I mean, it is one of my favourite awards because there is so much to talk about and there's no real outright winner like there is with MVP. Like, obviously, MVP, you can very clearly just watch and go, that guy's the best. But in terms of coaching, there is a little bit more nuance to it.
I feel like it goes to like the most improved team, like the coach of the most improved team or the most surprising team, I think is, and again, for me, that's either the Texans or the Colts. But for me, it is the Texans, but it could go either way, you know. But
yeah. I think it might just come down to who makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who has the easiest schedule as the Giants showed last year? We'll move on to the Dolphins at the Commanders. I mean, it's pretty much a track meet for the Dolphins. This one is Tyreek Hill up and down the field. We've already waxed lyrical about him all podcast. But, I mean, is there anything more to say about this Dolphins team, Miles?
Not really, because I think they just do everything right. And I know they just suffered a horrible injury last week, but I think Washington are still a tough team to go up against in some ways, and they contained Howell really well. You know, he's has the most passing yards in the league coming into that week, and they really just contained him. And you know, Brian Robinson was playing really well up until I just think they've granted it's not the best opposition, but they dealt with them very well, and then. Well, dealt with them very well is a bit of an understatement. They destroyed them. They absolutely destroyed them by 30 points. And I think if they just keep this momentum going, they keep Hill fit. As we said, Hill at 75% has played better than any wide receiver at 100. So, yeah, I think if they just keep churning along, they don't really need to change anything. They are, you know, there's that stat about how much motion they use and stuff like that. And I just think offensively, they're a nightmare for everyone. Because even if you didn't have Tyreek Hill in that team, all the motion, everything they do before the snap is just so hard for defenses to really, you know, pin down and work on, and the amount of speed they've got in the team and stuff like that. So when you couple all that with Tua just being accurate with the ball, with Tyreek Hill doing what he does, and the defense coming up strong, they're just a force to be reckoned with. And it's obviously, you know, Patriots, we've had our time dominating the East, but it still sucks seeing another team do it, but yeah, credit where it's due, man. They're great.
I suppose the only criticism of the Dolphins is, of course, the three good teams they've played against. They've lost all three of those games. Is there any concern for you, Miles? Obviously, they've got the Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills to finish the season. Is there any concern for you going into those games if they're a real contender?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like when they lost to the Bills, it felt like they were in it for quite a while, like even when they were two scores down, and it just kind of, they got a bit unlucky and it got away with them. Because on another day, the Bills just have those games where they just fall apart. And on another day, if that happened, you'd be like, oh, it's fine, you know? And then, I don't know, it's just, it's really tough. I don't see them beating the Cowboys. I see them struggling against the Ravens. I think they can turn the Bills over, but you know, who knows when maybe they get, you know, if they put a good performance together against the Cowboys and the Ravens, even if they lose one of those games, if they beat the Bills, that's a good amount of momentum to take into the playoffs. And playoffs are all about momentum, really. Like, you know, you get the good momentum going any given Sunday, who knows what can happen. So, yes, there is some worry, because mainly because the Cowboys are just insane. I don't think it's that the Dolphins can't beat good teams. It's just, I think now we're looking at it and it's like the Cowboys are one of the hardest teams to beat. Ravens defensively are incredible. And then the Bills, it depends. It depends which Bills you get, you know. And again, you could have a shootout in that game and the Bills put up 40 and they still lose, you know, because this Dolphins offense is just, you know, incredible. So I'm not worried about them. Like, I don't think they'll lose those three final games of the season. They won't lose all three, but there are obviously huge playoff implications with those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's just one of those things, you just got to at least win one of them just to get that monkey off the back of, okay, we've beaten a good team and we've shown we can at least do it. And maybe that's all it is, just a mind frame. And I can't imagine the media narrative helps. Like, obviously there's one of those things where you'd think they'd try and tune it out as much as possible, but they've got to be listening to it a bit. And I imagine, especially for the younger players on the team, that's got to affect you a little bit at least. But so I obviously the Dolphins are an incredibly fun team to watch, so hopefully they can get over that hurdle, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. Got the Buccaneers beating the Panthers in a pretty close one. Again, I guess the most notable thing about this game, Mike Evans obviously reaching his 10th consecutive 1,000-yard season every year that he's been in the league. Ash, was there anything else of note in this game? Is again a bit of a struggle for Bryce Young.
Yeah, I mean, every time I see the Panthers play, I just feel sorry for the lad, to be honest. Like, that they have just done nothing to surround him in regards to any, like, they were talking about some of the plays that they were playing this week. They, I don't know if anyone saw a few bits and pieces where there were certain aspects where they were heavily relying on wide receivers to separate at the top of the routes, and they showed a few times on some of the playback footage that how little these wide receivers separate. Like, it is just depressing. Like, I don't really know what you're expecting Bryce Young to do when your wide receivers can't separate literally at all. The only time they can separate is on a crossing route and Thielen gets like 10 yards. It's like, it's a bit pathetic. And they're the offensive line is easily one of the, if not the worst in the league. So it's just, I just feel sorry for the lad really, because if they need to get it right in the summer, they need to get the hire right. Because if they can get the hire right, I think that there is a player in there. But if they keep putting him to the sword like they've been doing and just throwing him in, then you'll have a kind of like another Darnold or something on your hands, where I just think it's just the constant coaching changes and not having the good wide receivers and not having good offensive line, it would just damage the kid's confidence. And I think that might sort of happen in the end. So hopefully they get the hire right. I mean, personally, the talk is at the moment that they're after the Lions OC, which I think that would be the sensible option, which would be an amazing hire if they can get that right. And I think that they were saying about it that, oh, I don't know if he'll go because he turned them down last year. And I think that it's not really what he wants. But Tepper will throw a hell of a lot of money, whoever coaches him. And I think money talks at the end of the day. So I think that if they can get Johnson, I think that we'll be talking about Bryce Young as one of them bounce back candidates for next season.
Well, yeah, I think it's kind of highlighted by the fact he only actually targeted 3 receivers all game. I mean, I guess it technically it doesn't show. I don't know, maybe he's throwing the ball away and it was sort of near a receiver. But literally, Mingo, Chark, and Phelan. And I think part of that is there's got to be trust issues. If you're, I mean, because that's the thing, Bryce Young is going to be seeing, as you mentioned, you know, these receivers can't get separation. He's going to be seeing that all game long. And so he's going to be able to watch these receivers constantly not get separation and go, right, I'm just not going to throw to you. Because I can't. What's the point in throwing to you if you've got a receiver, a defensive back all over you?
Yes, it is painful to watch them at the moment. It is really, really painful.
Yeah, absolutely. Good win for the Bucs, though. I mean, I guess sort of in the, well, I mean, they are very much in the mix in the NFC South, but
yeah,
it'd be very interesting.
I mean, that division's up for grabs, isn't it, really? Like, it's between the Falcons and the Bucs, personally. I think, obviously, the Panthers are out now completely. And I think what's going on with the Saints at the moment, they just keep getting in their own way. So I think that consistently, it will just come down to if the Falcons can avoid playing any half-decent team, then I think that they might nick that 4th seed, which would be outrageous. That sort of team getting the playoffs on. Can't even imagine how it must be to be in a division that easy. we have to just continue to play Mahomes every week, and then the Falcons have got freaking Baker Mayfield, Bryce Young, and freaking Jameis Winston playing against you. Killer.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. You know, no matter how easy that division is, as long as you win it, you get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, madness.
College football could maybe learn something. We'll move on to the big game of the week. The Niners hammered the Eagles. This was a very fun one for me to watch, at least. I mean, wasn't even close, really. It was very fun. Just, I can't even describe it, really. It just seemed like they were running all over them. And it's Eagles defense, which is normally so formidable, really just fell apart. Miles, I don't know how much you saw of this, but it's just, I mean, McCaffrey, obviously, we mentioned Trent Williams. Somehow Brock Purdy is in the MVP conversation. I guess 300 yards and 4 touchdowns will do that, even if it's not necessarily through his own merit. But yeah, I mean, incredible win for the 49ers here to go on the road to Philadelphia and batter them like this.
It's just, I think, you know, you throughout the season, with these big matchups, you get like dress rehearsals for playoff games and stuff like that. And I think last season, you know, the Niners, they had a tough time against the Eagles and all that, but this was the revenge game. This was the Niners, you know, fully healthy, and it showed. They just had too much. Like, they didn't look like they were going to lose a single game this season until the injuries started coming in. And once they're healthy, they are unstoppable. And I think we saw that against Philly at the weekend. It was just, I don't know, it was just like, it didn't even look like Philly were like struggling. It was just more that every time San Francisco got the ball, they scored. Like, Jalen Hurts didn't throw a pick. You know, it wasn't like he was messing up. It was just an offensive onslaught. You know, AJ Brown had 114 yards. Devonta Smith had 96 yards and a touchdown. Like, this wasn't a team that was struggling. It was just, they were just obliterated. And it was just, yeah. When a team can do that against a 10-2 side, they're a force to be reckoned with. And we all know that those three losses came when Williams was out and that they weren't fully healthy. And that is quite telling. And yeah, I think it's hard to look past them for the NFC's representative in the Super Bowl.
The only thing is, it does fill me with a sense of absolute dread that Trent Williams or Debo Samuel or Christian McCaffrey is going to get injured at some point.
Oh, of course. That's
and it's
how
going to be another
That's how
NFC Championship
works.
Game. Yeah, just another NFC Championship game where the Niners aren't fully fit. And of course, the Eagles go on to the Super Bowl again. And it's just, hopefully, touch wood, Niners stay fully fit and we see a very similar result at some point in the playoffs. Or the Eagles don't make it to the NFC Championship game. That would be nice. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. For now, we've got the Rams. We were pretty comfortable win over the Browns. A fairly feisty performance from Joe Flacco, but not quite enough. As you said earlier, you know, Rams can beat anyone on their day. This very much seemed like their day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we were talking about coaches earlier on. I don't know if you could even put McVay in that sort of category of how everyone had this Rams team saying, yeah, they're down and out. They're going to be right there with Arizona in some regards. And here we are, like, they could get the playoffs. So, like, I mean, they've got pretty much one or two pieces on D that you really would recognize. And then what I think it baffles me really why the Rams don't have more picks more often and use them picks, because they're actually pretty good at drafting, because this draft class turned out to be absolutely beautiful for them. So Avelia has been great. The guard, obviously Puka they got as well. So yeah, I think that at the moment, form wise, you could see this Rams team, making a push for sure. So yeah, I think that, in regards to the Browns, I think you kind of, it's sort of, this team was really, really built on defense for most of the majority of the season. I think that it's just starting to take its toll now, because this defense has been on the field so much in so many games that in the end, these teams, and especially when you've got good quarterbacks like Stafford, these teams can grind you down. And I think that that's kind of been the occurrence now with Cleveland. So I would be very concerned if I was a Browns fan that obviously Flacco for me is an improvement on what you can do on offense because of his experience as a veteran. But they obviously they lost Cooper and you could really notice that. And then all of a sudden things, it just started to go downhill again because this defense, because it's been on the field so much, just looks jaded, man. You could see Garrett looks knackered. Like he's just feeling like he's been on the field for like every down in every match. So, and I don't think the schedule's going to make it any more easier for him. So I'm a little bit concerned about the Browns for them making the playoffs, especially within the division they're in. But I mean, there's still a possibility if they can get something clicking on offense.
Yeah. And you could also maybe argue, being in the big city, got a few big names. If this was college, they'd already be guaranteed a playoff spot. But why even play the rest of the season? Sorry, I'll stop laboring that point. But we'll move on to the final game of the season. Of the week. in fact, it's not even the final game of the week. We've still got another one tonight. But we had the Packers beating the Chiefs last night. Massive upset. Miles, I understand you've watched the most of this out of the three of us. So please take the lead.
Jordan Love, I think at the start of the season, I was like, Jordan Love is legit. And then he had a few wobbles and I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong about that. But no, I guess I wasn't because he's just playing really well. And it's really annoying that the Packers seem to have lucked out three times in a row with quarterbacks. Like, this seems a bit unfair, you know? Like, but yeah, he's playing really well. They've got a really young but very talented group of wide receivers. Romeo Dubs, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks is playing well. Now, Jaden Reed has kind of not had that, you know, he only had 16 yards last night. He didn't play that well, but he's been a bright spark in that team. Like, you know, Tucker Kraft has just been a reliable dump off tight end now that Musgrave is hurt. Like, they've just got good pass catchers. They've got good, consistent pass catchers and a really solid quarterback to throw to them. Ground game was really good. Right, AJ Dillon, 18 carries for 73 yards. Patrick Taylor had a couple nice runs as well. Like, they just seem to be clicking really well on offense now. And, you know, the defense to hold Mahomes and KC to under 20 points is extremely impressive. You know, Travis Kelce's still eight. You know, he still had his 81 yards. You know, Mahomes had over 200 yards and a touchdown, did throw a pick. Pacheco threw 110 yards on the ground. But the Green Bay Packers, defensively, they've just been quite underrated recently. And yeah, last night was like the perfect example of complementary football. You know, your defense takes care of the QB and, you know, their weapons, and then the offense puts up the points, and that's what happened. And yeah, I think they've really, as I said, they've lucked out with Jordan Love. And if these young wide receivers keep on going and keep improving, they're just going to be a problem for a while. And that's really annoying for all of us.
Yeah, I don't. It would be incredibly frustrating if the Packers had three generational quarterbacks.
Yeah, three Hall of Fame QBs back to back. That's just unfair. That is really stupid.
Like, although, just, to be fair, no one else is doing what they do and actually sitting them. And I will continue to argue that point.
I agree with you completely. Like, you look at Mahomes and at KC, like, it helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just no point throwing them to the Wolves.
It does depend on their player type. Like, look at like Josh Allen and look at Anthony Richardson. Josh Allen was so raw that he needed the game time. And it's the same with Richardson now. He needs the game time. But then some guys, you just think they've got all the tools. They just need to sit and learn. Some people need to sit, some need to start. But the majority do just need to sit. And when you've got Aaron Rodgers as a teacher, sit him. Like, just sit him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's working wonders. I don't think anyone believed in Jordan Love, particularly when he first came out of the draft. But look at him now. He's starting to get some games together. As I mentioned, this wasn't quite the last game of the week. There is one more tonight. Bengals will be going to Jacksonville. Jake Browning will be starting at quarterback. Ash, do you have any faith that he can go in and get a win tonight?
I mean, I bet there is a lot of people that are hope because it's kind of like the fringe time of your fantasy playoffs if you're in bigger leagues. So I bet there's a lot of people wanting Jake Browning to do well tonight to make them know if they're going to be in the playoffs or not. So be interesting to see how he does. Like, he's been doing okay. Like, he's not been like, it's not been the most horrendous drop off compared to some of the other teams where they've lost QBs and someone else has gone in. So I don't think he's good enough to go and beat the Jags tonight. I think the Jags have got more than enough to beat this Bengals team in the situation the Bengals are in. And if I think someone said today that if the Jags win out, then actually the whole of the AFC goes through Jacksonville. So that would be pretty mad if Jacksonville can end up being the one seed, because I think it's in their own hands at the moment. I know we've still got 5 games left, but if they win tonight, they go to the one seed. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this game unfolds, but I can't really see anything other than Jacksonville at the moment with how that team is and the confidence they're in compared to this Bengals team that they're sort of trying to get used to the situation that they're in without their superstar quarterback.
Yeah, and I do quite like the Jags, and you know, from a fantasy perspective, all I need for tonight, crucial game, Trevor Lawrence to outscore Evan Ingram. But to be honest, it's been such a roller coaster ride with Lawrence. I'm not even that confident on it, to be honest. but yeah, I think they should relatively easily win this. Miles, do you fancy the Bengals, or you coming on the Jags side with us?
I do feel like it's going to be the Jags. I mean, the Jags have had a couple games this season that they should have won, like against the Chiefs, and ended up losing for no good reason. But I just don't really think that's possible with the situation that the Bengals are in. So I'm going with the Jags, and we'll just see from there. I do need 8.17 points from Calvin Ridley to beat Ash in the podcast league tonight. So yeah, that's what I'll be paying attention to. But yeah, I think the Jags, I don't think it'll be a blowout. I don't think it's like they're going to destroy them, because I think the Jags are really inconsistent, but I think they'll win for sure.
Yeah. For me, looking at the podcast league, I need Joe Mixon and Christian Kirk to combine for minus 21 in order to beat Ross. So,
right.
I mean, you never know. Fingers crossed. It might happen. Just have 10 fumbles between them.
Yeah. Easy.
But yeah, that just about wraps up for our week 13 review. Miles, any parting words for us?
Please, New England, just don't win any more games. I need a good quarterback that I can enjoy watching, and losing will help that. But I do like Zappy, but I want Jones gone. Zappy has to be QB2 next year behind May or Caleb.
I mean, after that game against the Giants, I'm very surprised you're still on the Zappy.
Yeah, but it wasn't his, like, it's not his fault everyone sucks, is it? And he didn't turn the ball over.
He does also suck himself. Like,
yeah, but he's not great. But, you know, Mac Jones would have fumbled. If Mac Jones had played that game, he would have fumbled and he would have thrown a pick. Like, that is a given. Whereas Bailey Zappy didn't turn the ball over, which is a start. Granted, it's not great, but it's a start. So that's what, yeah. Yes, it's a. Have you watched a single Patriots game this season? Like, the bar is on the floor and we can't jump over it. You know, it's crazy.
At least Tommy DeVito threw 3 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, I'd rather have Tommy DeVito than Mac Jones at the moment. Like, he's doing better. But yeah.
Anyways, any parting words from yourself, Ash?
Congratulations to the Final Four in the college playoffs. So that'll be interesting to see who these. Commiserations to Florida State, but they were never going to leave out the SEC champions. So
it's gross.
That is happens. But I'm cheering for Washington. I really like to see Washington do it this year. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Fair enough. I have no vested interest, but I think it's an absolute disgrace Florida State have been left out of that. But anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.